I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
By the way, I was doing a little research into Josh Allen because big playoff for Josh Allen.
Sure, absolutely.
Because what's the excuse going to be for you Bills fans after this year?
Yeah.
No Patrick Mahomes, obviously. No smoking on that Joe Burrow, obviously. No Lamar Jackson in the postseason.
He better win this game.
No excuses.
Sure.
Well, Josh Allen's never won a road playoff game. So we can start with that. And I was taking a look at the quarterbacks that Josh Allen has beaten in the postseason.
Okay.
So he's got 7 postseason wins. That's the most of any quarterback that's not won a Super Bowl. All right, so what to say you want about that?
Is that true?
Yeah.
Most ever?
That's what someone wrote on Twitter.
Well, that's good. That's good enough
That's my source.
7 playoff wins without a Super Bowl, the most ever. That's interesting.
That's what someone said on Twitter.
I mean,
Twitter's never wrong.
It's a big enough number.
Seems like
a lot. It's a big enough number where I'm at least
Here's the quarterbacks Josh Allen has beaten, just real quick, okay?
Real quick.
A 40-year-old Philip Rivers.
Right.
Okay. Ty Huntley. Okay. Mac Jones. You stop me when I get to a good one.
Okay.
Mason Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
Skylar Thompson. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
A rookie Bo Nix. Okay.
Yep.
And he does have a win against Lamar Jackson.
I was going to say Lamar.
Yes.
That's the one. The rest are bad.
Right. And this weekend, obviously, he's going up against Trevor Lawrence. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Bills are on the road in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about, as great as Josh Allen is, Josh Allen's a top 3 quarterback, and he's destined for the Hall of Fame, not knocking his game at all. I'm just trying to figure out, and this is my Jet fan I'm coming through 100%. I'm trying to figure out what the excuse is going to be from Bills fans when they don't get, at least let's just say, I don't know, to an AFC championship game, or if the Jaguars do beat them mm-hmm. in Jacksonville this weekend. And my gut is we're going to start treating Josh Allen fans mm-hmm. are going to start treating Josh Allen like LeBron James fans. Josh Allen's becoming the LeBron James of the NFL, meaning it's never his fault.
Right.
It's always not enough talent around him. What can you expect him to do? Can't carry the team every year. He's LeBron James.
I think that's fair. I think they'll definitely give you that. You're forgetting the other big one that we talked about. What happened? What are you worried of? What should Giant fans worry if they lose the game?
That they fire Sean McDermott,
the coach.
And now John Harbaugh becomes the Bills coach.
The coach.
Right.
The coach as well as the team around him.
Bad coaching.
Always terrible at the end of the games, clock management. Like, they'll go right to McDermott, throw him under the bus. That's why I'm concerned if they lose the game, he's fired.
Yeah,
I think he becomes the scapegoat. It's not Josh Allen. You're 100% right.
Yep.
The wide receiving core is not good. The defense hasn't been great. They have a great run game.
Yep.
And they got Josh Allen.
James Cook led the league in rushing this year.
Led the league in rushing.
Yep. They got a really good run game.
Now, they're going against a team that has the best rush defense in the NFL. But that's the team. Josh Allen and the run game. And I agree with you. It's not going to be Josh Allen's fault if they lose.
Like if he throws 5 interceptions, obviously, yes.
Right.
But outside of something like that,
no.
It's going to be, the GM let him down. Why'd you let Stephon Diggs go to New England 2 years later?
Right.
My God, you never got another wide receiver, blah, 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 blah. But he's become the LeBron James of the NFL. I just think he's better at football than LeBron is at basketball, but that's my own personal take on that. That's a story probably for March.
Yeah.
March, April, May. Yeah.
How many NBA finals has LeBron gotten to?
LeBron?
Yeah.
One? Two?
One or two?
A couple of them.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a LeBron
Don't you think
guy.
Lamar is the same thing, though?
Except nobody says.
I mean, I could make an argument that the Baltimore Ravens have had a better roster over the last handful of years.
They have. I think Lamar's 3-5 in the postseason. Yeah. You could fact check me out if you want to. The difference is that when the Ravens have lost, Lamar's the guy that gets blamed. It's Lamar Jackson.
That's fair. That's
Lamar
fair.
Jackson
You're right.
came up
That's
small.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson can't win the big game.
Yep.
People forget the Mark Andrews fumble and drop.
Yeah.
People forget the Zay Flowers fumble at the goal line. People forget the missed field goal. It's always Lamar. And they confirmed he is 3-5 in the postseason. Check one for me. The reality is that he gets blamed.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen never
You're
gets
right.
blamed.
That's fair.
We'll see what they come up with if they lose to the Jaguars.
The
and
coach.
You have a pick on that game
it's
later,
the coach.
Right?
Yes, I do.
Little insight or no? Go wait till later?
I'm going to wait till later.
All right. Keep us waiting. I like it. Here's Carol in Point Pleasant on the Fan. Hi, Carol. How are you?
Carol.
Good. How are you?
Great.
So I wanted to talk to you about your Twitter story and the poor Jets. And I do mean poor Jets. I mean, yeah. I'm a giant fan. But here's the deal with social media. I'm going to call you an influencer.
Okay.
And you don't tweet so many times a week or so many times a day.
Yeah.
They drop you. Social media is all run by an algorithm.
Okay.
That says, how often do you tweet? How often do people, and I'm talking Facebook, all the platforms are the same.
Yeah.
How often do you post? How often do people
read? But I don't think the Jets are looking to monetize their tweets like I am.
Right.
You follow me? So like,
no, I don't think they're looking to monetize it, but they're looking to stay up in the algorithm, because if you fall in the algorithm, they don't share your posts with as many people.
Oh, look, you might be right about that.
They should still put out better content.
Look, I totally understand what she's saying.
Yeah.
You know, for people like us who try to build an online following, and I've been blessed to have built a pretty good one over the last couple of years, yes, there's like tricks to the trade. How do you get more views? How do you get more followers? Blah, blah, blah. And you become a slave to it, right? When do you post? How often? I don't think teams, look, I'm sure the social media people with the Jets, like any other franchise, take great pride in their work, and they want to get a lot of views. They get reports every month. How many views did we get this month compared to last month? Why are we up? Why are we down? I get it. But I don't think that the Jets put out today's tweet about celebrating that their 5 offensive linemen started every game. I know the team has done that in a year and a half, because they want to make sure they got enough views today.
No.
I just don't buy that.
No.
Now, I could be wrong.
They wanted to try and convince the fans there's something to look forward to. That's
yes.
what they're trying to do. They're trying to convince their fans that while the noise around the Giants and hiring a coach is there and the playoffs are about to start, don't worry. We are good. There are things to be positive about.
Sure.
We were excellent in special teams. The offensive line was a group that not only performed, but stayed together. Like, this is what they're trying to sell you.
By the way, the New York Jets, if you had to take a guess.
Yeah.
And this is just Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. How many followers do you think the Jets have?
Close to a million?
No.
A million?
A million two. Is that a lot?
I don't know.
How many do you think the Jets have?
It's a lot for me.
Yeah, I mean, you have like 9.
Yeah, I have something like that. I think I'm up to 13. But
there you go. How many think the Giants have? By default, it's got to be more.
Yeah.
Right?
But I wouldn't think it'd be that much more. Let's go 1.6.
1.8. Not bad. You're
in
the ballpark there.
Yeah.
What do you think the Knicks have, if you had to take a wild guess on that
one?
I think
the Knicks might be more because, again, it's the one team. But I don't think that much more. Let's go 2.2.
2.2. The new. Wow. My man, lots of pants on the number.
There you go.
So the Knicks have Yankees. What do the Yankees have? The Knicks have 2.2.
Yeah.
Giants are 1.8.
I think the Yankees are such a national brand that I have to go higher. I'm going to go
2.8. No. That was your worst guess of all the guesses.
Oh, really?
Higher,
yeah.
Bob.
Oh, higher. See?
Yeah.
5.
No. 3.6 Twitter followers.
Okay.
3.6 million Twitter followers.
Yeah.
I guess that's got to be the most in baseball, unless the Dodgers have more.
The Dodgers might. Now,
I'll give you real quick.
With Ohtani in Japan,
I bet you it's more.
I bet you it's more.
Is there Twitter in Japan? Do they use Twitter?
I think so.
I don't know.
I've never been to Japan. All I know is that 7-Eleven have excellent egg salad sandwiches.
There you go.
I don't know how that's possible.
You shouldn't be eating that.
No, they say no. No, no, no.
You can't eat egg salad at 7-Eleven.
No, you're not.
Yeah, all that egg salad
is? No. They say it's fantastic.
Who says?
Like all
the food
influencers and everything, they're astounded. If you go to Japan, you get an egg salad sandwich.
In Japan?
Yes.
I thought you said that.
No, you don't eat anything here. That's what makes it so interesting.
You said egg salad 7-Eleven, I thought
you
said.
Yes, in Japan.
There's no 7-Elevens in Japan.
Yes, there are.
Are there?
Yes.
They drink slushies?
And apparently you got to get, did you just stir your coffee with a pen?
Yeah, or have a spoon. What do you do?
I'm going to go get you a spoon.
It's just hot water and honey. It's fine.
All right, okay. That's fine.
Good.
All right, but I'm just saying, you threw me off. Yes, there's 7-Elevens. And yes, apparently it's on like this special kind of bread, and it's a special way they make the egg salad. You get an egg salad sandwich. If you go to Japan, it's the first place I'm going. If I ever go to Japan, I'm stopping at 7-Eleven. I'm getting that egg salad sandwich.
If I go to Japan,
yeah,
the first thing I'm doing is getting hibachi.
egg salad sandwich on the
way. Because that's what
they're known for. They're known for their 7-Eleven egg salad sandwiches.
Okay, fine.
I'm telling you, it's a new thing.
Honey, listen, I know we're in Japan. We got to make a quick stop at the convenience store.
Yes.
Oh, yeah? Why is that? Supposedly, the egg salad's the best.
That's think of how ridiculous that statement
is. That's stupid.
The idea that it's true is fascinating to me.
Okay. Well, if you ever go to Japan, let me know.
I will.
The L.A. Dodgers, less than the Yankees.
Less than the
Yankees. A lot less.
Really?
2.9.
Okay.
Yeah. Yankees are number one in baseball.
We win somewhere.
There you go.
Just doing these research. The Yankees are number one, and then MLB as a whole, 12.9.
So 3.5 times what the Yankees have. All right, I mean, that's what it should be. I guess, I don't know. I wonder if they monetize it.
Would think.
I mean, why else do it, right? Here's Scott in Rockland County on the fan. Scott, how are you?
I ain't ever had a bad day, but I appreciate you asking.
I don't know if I've ever heard that response to it. I don't know whether to be nauseated by it or... I don't know. I kind of liked it. I kind of liked it. Say that one more time.
I never had a bad day.
But thanks for asking. I like that.
Does that work with the ladies?
It works with everybody. It worked with you.
Fair point. Worked with me. Worked with me, Scott.
Fair point. All right. What
do you got? Hey, I have a question for you. It's kind of a crazy idea, but... Between college and the pros, you got like almost a dozen coaches on the carousel. What if you would just throw them in the draft, add coaches to a part of the draft? You know, that way it makes it a little more interesting.
How would you
put that together?
So you're saying don't do just a coach-specific draft. One draft, players and coaches in it. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's play that out. It's an interesting question, actually. As dumb as it is, it's Friday, and I want to go down that rabbit hole for a second.
Let's go.
All right. You're picking first.
Mm-hmm.
You need a coach and a quarterback in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Harbaugh's in the draft. Mm-hmm. Mendoza, you know who's in it, right?
Yeah.
You're the Giants.
Yep.
You don't have Jackson Dart.
Don't have Jackson Dart.
Okay?
I want to be specific.
You do not have Jackson Dart.
And Jackson Dart is not in the draft. It's the current NFL.
It's the
current players that would be in the draft.
Correct.
Plus the current available head
coaches.
Correct.
Okay. Correct.
And the Giants do not have a quarterback. Or
Giants,
any team that we're discussing. Jets, Giants, whatever.
You'll do it as a Giant fan.
Okay.
I'll do it as a Jet fan.
Okay.
And we're not going to wait till Monday for the playoff games.
Gotcha.
What we know today
what
in the moment.
What we know today.
All right. Who's your first pick?
It's not close. John Harbaugh.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You would take the coach over the quarterback.
Not all the time. This particular draft, I like Mendoza.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel strongly enough that he is the franchise guy.
Okay.
I think he has a chance to be. And if I were picking first in this year's normal NFL draft, if I were the Raiders, that would clearly be my selection. But John Harbaugh being available, the builder, the culture builder that he is, what the Giants are in need for, I would absolutely take him over Mendoza.
I think I'd probably take the coach too.
Yeah. But now, Luck was in the draft, I'd take Andrew Luck.
Well, you only get in for a couple of years, though.
Well,
you know, I don't like playing football. Football's not fun.
That's
anymore.
Not true. The guy had his spleen bruised.
Stop. So did Chris.
He got his ass
kept playing.
Yeah,
so
I understand. That's fair.
Like, what are we doing? Like, we're either football players or we're not football players.
He didn't want to go through the rehabs.
Football's not fun anymore. I don't want to play anymore.
Everyone's a crybaby.
Yeah, because the last bastion of manhood on this planet is football players. They're allowed to be men.
Right.
They are. And, we love them because they're men. They're cavemen. It's the beauty of the sport.
Right.
And when a guy is really good, too, by the way, it's like this whole smoking out of Joe Burrow thing. Joe Burrow pisses me off. Joe Burrow's a great quarterback when he plays. Obviously, he's been hurt a lot. He's missed a lot of games, mm-hmm. right? But when Joe Burrow's on a football field, no one's going to argue. He's a top three quarterback in the NFL. But I'm not having fun. Yeah, because losing sucks.
It's not even just the losing.
But you take your ball and go home.
He rehabs 80% of his career.
Right.
Like right now, like in the last 3 years, 75% of his career has been getting ready off an injury. Rehabbing an injury.
Like,
sucks.
But think about Bengals fans.
There's a mental component to that.
I'm trying to tell you. You got paid $250 million.
Correct. I'm not saying you should
cry
about
it. You missed half the games that you should have played for the team that drafted you.
Yeah.
Bengals fans, while stupid, are good people,
mm-hmm.
right? And they want to hear you go, I don't know if I want to play anymore. Football has to be fun or it's just not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? How do you think a season ticket holds a field?
I agree.
You represent an opportunity to win. You took us to a Super Bowl. You're supposed to take us to more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Football's not fun for me anymore. I'm not sure if I want to continue to do this.
I'm not saying that you're.
Yeah.
He is a bit of a crybaby.
No problem playing football
to hear
when they gave you $250 million.
Agreed.
Signed both your wide receivers and not a damn defensive player.
I'm just saying they're human, and I can understand how difficult it is to constantly react.
I wish we had a guy like Joe Burrow as the quarterback. But can you imagine? You all right over there? Could you imagine if a New York quarterback who's really good, like the best quarterback maybe we've ever had, came up and said that publicly in this town, what we would do to a guy like that?
Yeah.
There'd be two types of people. One side would be, oh, please, Joe. Oh, please. Oh, please, we love you, Joe. We'll give you more money. What do you need? Anything to keep you on the field, Joe. And then there'd be Billy from the Bronx.
Right.
Screw you, Joe Burrow. You know, I've been smoking on that Joe Burrow for 3 years. Get out of here.
I don't disagree with your take on the fans. I'm just trying to tell you, I do understand the mental component of constantly, he's not playing. All he's doing is getting ready to play.
And he's getting a paycheck.
All he's doing is working. Yeah, I'm not saying, right. But just like you said, as a fan,
yeah.
You didn't expect him to go out there and win. As a player, he didn't sign up for $250 million to be in the locker room. He didn't sign up to...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's not necessarily his fault.
It's not the team's fault.
It's not his fault.
Stop getting hurt. Yo, you're brittle. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you got osteoporosis.
Right.
It's something like that.
It's frustrating.
I'm sure
his body is letting him down.
Oh, and I should feel bad for him.
I'm not saying you should. Look, I'm saying I understand his frustration.
You know, I understand
Andrew Luck's frustration.
I feel bad for the 25-year sanitation worker who's still got to keep working, who's got a bad back, his elbows are sore, he's got, you know, crow eyes on the side of his eyes, he's got smoker's cough,
and he still goes to work. And those things go away if Joe Burrow's happy with making $250 million while working out.
I don't want to hear a guy making $250 complaining.
I get it.
That's my point.
I get it.
Like, I understand. It sucks getting hurt. Rehab sucks. It's a lonely thing.
Yes.
You know, you want to be on the field. You're miserable, maybe even depressed. I buy into mental illness.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Mental health is a big deal, obviously, right? But at the end of the day, you cannot bitch and moan about how hard it is for you when you have 250 guaranteed.
That's fair.
Like, he don't have to throw another pass. He got 250 guaranteed. But I don't think I'm very happy playing. And, you know, my girlfriend looks like a boy. And shut up. You know, I bought the Batmobile, and they won't let me drive it on the streets, so I had to return it. Oh, life sucks. Like, yeah, you talk about tone deaf. And what sucks is he's my friend, and he's a damn good quarterback.
Joe Burrow is your friend?
Yes, my buddy.
You guys are close?
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Not very close, but,
no.
You know, I treat my friends with honesty.
Yeah.
That's why they're my friends.
Right.
I don't sugarcoat things with friends. You can't. Okay. You wouldn't be a good friend.
Right.
I tell them all the time, stop bitching. Stop your complaining. Anybody want to hear it?
Why didn't you tell him that before you went out there?
What happened?
Should have told him before he went out
there. No, I thought that he was going to just suck it up and not complain about being hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, football's not fun. And, by the way, he was also talking about losing.
Yes,
he was. Talking about injuries.
Correct. No, it's both. It's both.
He's like, oh, it sucks to lose. Yeah, how do you think we feel?
Yeah.
Losing sucks.
Right.
But we keep showing up, right?
And so does he.
Yeah.
When he can. When he's not in the weight room trying to get,
I
you know,
healed
from a toe injury.
Rich people who complain about their jobs when they make a lot of money doing
it. I agree.
It.
Nobody does.
Pisses me off. I don't know why.
Hal Steinbrenner pissed me off earlier this year.
What did he do?
Hal Steinbrenner complained about the $100 million he's got to give to the city. He complained about...
By the way, it's a lot of money.
I know. It is a lot of money.
Why is he giving the city $100 million?
The lease for the building.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees are giving a city $100 million?
Every year.
Every year.
Correct.
Huh.
Yep.
That sucks.
That sucks. But nobody wants to hear it. I think we're the exact same thing. We're arguing the same point.
I
could understand why Hal doesn't like writing a check for $100 million.
Shouldn't say it publicly. Like, it sucks to have to pay it.
Yeah.
But Yankee fans don't want to hear it. Like, remember, you play in the Bronx.
Yeah.
You ain't playing in Scarsdale.
No.
You playing in the Bronx.
Yeah.
So shut up.
Shut up.
I agree. Now, I understand privately that it's a pain in the ass, but he also knew that was the deal when they built the new stadium.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So I would, if I was advising Hal Steinbrenner,
yep.
and they don't ask me to,
stop talking about your bills.
Don't talk about money publicly.
Yep.
Regular average people do not want to hear rich people complain about money. We 100%. Don't. Which is why Francisco Lindor's wife being on that stupid socialist committee makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
And why the people celebrated that are stupid. Yo, she totally understands our plight. No, she doesn't.
She does not.
She doesn't.
She might. I'm not. She might be concerned for your plight and like to look
no,
to help
she's
it.
She's not.
I don't know that.
How many but people she, she bringing into the $22 million apartment for dinner?
Well, as of late, she doesn't understand it. Doesn't mean she doesn't want to
she's
try to help
touch.
Out. She might
That's
want to
right.
help out though.
Good. Write a check. How about this? You got the money. Buy a building. Move people into there for
there
free.
There you go.
There you go.
My train went up three. My train ticket went up to $3.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be
the
free.
The subway. I thought it was gonna. I certainly didn't think it was going up.
The unnamed producer told me the subway was free.
Not anymore.
It was for me this morning.
No, it wasn't. The subway?
Because the producer told me it's free, so I just went right over it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You figured free meant jump the turnstile.
There's no place to put my money. Yeah. I went whoop right over that thing.
No, there's like a new screen just for the credit card, direct to the credit card.
Not where I got on.
Okay.
I got on at 33rd and 8th. Yeah, right in the corner. I go, if anyone says anything, my producer told me the subways are free.
That's it.
That's what he said. He goes, good news.
I wish he would have told me. I've been paying $3 each way.
I ain't paying $3 to ride the subway. It's free. I was told it was free.
Yeah.
I don't know where he got that from, but free. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about that. Woo!
Free is free for
yeah.
me.
Yeah. At my age, 32, it's not as easy to jump over the turnstile like it used to be. Sometimes you got to wait for someone to open up the door. And then you just sneak in the door.
You just give the person that look like, come on.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Let me in.
Open
please.
The door.
Had a tough day. Here's Steven Isop on the fan. Steve, what's going on, buddy?
What's up? Listen, side note. All rich people are tone deaf. Francisco Lindor's wife is tone deaf. Steve Cohen's tone deaf.
I don't think all rich people are tone deaf. Some are tone deaf.
Most rich people are tone deaf. Most rich people pretend to know how we feel, but they don't really care about how we feel, you know?
Well, I guess that's true. Yeah, I quit caring a few years ago.
I just want to say that the Jets, the Jets are embarrassing. There's no way that anyone got hyped up with that tweet. I actually found some information. The Jets had one of the lowest total times of offensive possession in all of the league, like 28 minutes per game.
Oh, is that right?
So yeah. The O-line was never, they were never on the field.
It's still impressive. Believe it or not, it is impressive to make it through the entire season without an injury to any of the starting five, but it's not that impressive to put out a tweet about it. And, yeah, not only were they hardly on the field, they were also down. 53% of their offensive snaps came while they were down in the game, which is
sounds like a lot.
Insane.
Sounds like they gave up a lot of points.
It's insane.
Early.
They were down by double digits, 53%. It's it's crazy. So that's a lot of pass blocking. That's a lot less trying to bruise. It's more just standing your ground. Like there are, if you want to get into it, there's a handful of reasons why they did stay healthy. But the point is, who gives a damn?
Yeah, you know
won
how
three games.
I was thinking about this also on the subway coming in here today. Mm-hmm. You know how it's interesting that after the exit meeting that Mike McDaniel had in Miami,
mm-hmm.
that Stephen Ross, the owner, decided to fire him. Like apparently didn't like the answers he got, didn't like the excuses he got, whatever the case may be, right?
Yeah.
Well, so it's interesting about that there was a different story I read, I think this morning or yesterday, where in, I guess, the Jets exit meetings, that Woody Johnson was very upset that they lost five consecutive games by 23 points or more.
First ever.
And apparently didn't even go to the last three games. And Woody Johnson's a fixture of games, mm-hmm. whether he's with his family, his son quite famously. But Woody's almost at every game, right? And I guess the story I read this morning was that he was really pissed off, as we all are, that they embarrassed themselves over the last 5 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think this morning on the subway, and it was kind of an empty subway, a little surprised by that this morning, coming down here, that
must be everyone's at the parade.
Yeah, maybe. They heard about the parade for having the sturdiest offensive line. That's a good point. I missed out on that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Stephen Ross didn't like what he heard from his coach, so he fired him.
Mm-hmm.
What could Aaron Glenn have possibly have said to Woody Johnson in their exit meeting where Woody went from, I'm so embarrassed that I'm not even going to watch the last three games. You set an NFL record by losing five straight games by 23 or more. What could Aaron Glenn have said that made Woody Johnson say, huh, I didn't consider that. You can come back.
I have no idea.
Neither do I.
I have no idea.
I got nothing.
Well, I complimented on him, said, you know.
Your son's doing a great job on Reddit.
Your son's doing a great job. You were the best ambassador to the United Kingdom we've ever had. Like, I don't know.
Nothing, right?
Yeah.
It couldn't even be like, hey, we turned a corner. Remember that third quarter against the Jaguars?
Yeah. We did have that. You should see the run game. You should see the physicality that we brought to that drive. We just ran it up and down the field. I don't know.
Like, because I think Stephen Ross did the right thing. He didn't like the answers he got. He said, this is no longer the guy, in my opinion, that I trust to steward the franchise.
Right.
So he made a decision.
But that's the thing, and I said this the other day. He gets... Aaron Glenn is probably an impressive rah-rah, coach-him-up kind of guy, and he sold
him. But not after a three-win season, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think you can be sold on, listen, we're turning this thing around. This is what we did in Detroit. And that's what you've heard echoed by a bunch of people. This is what we did in Detroit. We heard a caller earlier. You know, this is they know what to do. They've been here before. They've dealt with losing. Like, that's what he's telling them. This is just like what happened in Detroit.
So,
2 years later, we were the best team in the NFC.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did say. I know what this looks like. I know what this smells like.
I know exactly what this looks like.
I know. And by the way, I'm seeing the same things in this locker room I saw in Detroit.
Yep.
You just got to trust me.
Yep.
Don't cut my legs out for me yet.
You traded away my two best defensive players.
Yeah,
and that's why the defense. You traded away my two best defensive players, and that's why the defense went to crap. But I'm telling you, we lost our star wide receiver. I'm telling you, this is exactly what it looked like in Detroit. We will have this thing turn around. This is what I do.
By the way, I want to say thanks to a longtime sponsor of the radio station and shows that I've hosted, killing it out there in Long Island, but Kitchen Cabaret swung by today and brought us a bunch of stuff for lunch for the entire staff. So I want to thank the gang over there, Kitchen Cabaret, Exit 39 off the LAE, longtime supporters of the radio station and me personally. And if you go there, you can get the official Craig Carton garlic knot prosciutto mozzarella sandwich there. Yeah.
Sounds delicious.
You had one today.
I had one. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, good. It's great.
It's very good.
It's great. My own name sandwich there.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
They brought a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, everything was delicious. Yeah. We're still enjoying the fruit.
We're
down to the fruit.
Yeah, you learn about people and their eating habits, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not you, but the unnamed producer.
Mm-hmm.
My man went from sushi to garlic knots to wings to, like, it's like, you know, you never ate before.
Yeah.
It was like he just got, you know, freed from a POW camp. It was like, I want everything. I want to taste it all.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten in years.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Oh, wings. Oh, sushi. Oh.
We had a buddy when I was a little kid. When I was in elementary school, he would eat over. His father was military, and he would eat everything. Like, if we had,
compartmentalized?
I don't know, yes. Like, meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and peas. All the peas.
By the way, mashed potatoes.
Then all the meatloaf.
That's how I was forced to eat as a kid.
Really?
My grandfather. So my grandfather was an engineer during the war and worked on planes, all right, in the Newark hangars, which were military hangars, all right? And whenever we'd go see my grandma and grandpa, whatever was for dinner, it was like a weird like pet peeve of his to the point where you might have a fork thrown at you. Or a knife thrown at you.
If you mix things.
If you took like mashed potatoes and peas and carrots, which mixed together great, we call it shepherd's pie.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
With a little meat in there too, right?
There too.
It would be a problem. Like, get away from my table.
Right.
And I'd be like, why? And he said, because you can't appreciate the taste of the carrot if it's mixed in with the potato.
Hmm.
Each thing is separate, eat them separately.
Yeah.
And if you didn't,
you got a fork to the face.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna mess with that man.
No.
That was a tough man. That was a military man.
Yeah.
I want to know part of that. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'll eat my peas over here.
But the peas and carrots, could they be eaten together? Or was it just like, did you have to pick up the carrots and then eat the peas?
He used to make my grandmother, when she served dinner, she would have to put each plate, like it wasn't a help yourself deal.
Yeah.
But grandma's making dinner, peas over here, steak over there, carrots over there, meatloaf over there. If any food touched another food, fork right in your face.
I also had an old Italian aunt who would make... We couldn't drink anything until we were done eating.
That's weirder. Yeah.
Well, you could eat and then you could have water, apple juice, whatever.
You're Italian, right?
I am.
Yeah.
Even though I have the last
name. Did you grow up putting Coca-Cola in your red wine?
We've had this discussion.
We have?
I had never seen it in my family.
Yeah, I did.
And I asked people in my family and no.
No?
No.
Oh, yeah. My family growing up now, it was Manischewitz, but Coke in the red wine. 888-808-1019 is the phone number. It's an old school Italian thing for those of you that don't know. I'm not making it up. You can look it up. More of your calls coming up. We got the big Abdul Carter debate coming up as well.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's the Carton Show.
Little
Big
Beatles
Mac.
Beatles on a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that... It's only week one. I don't want to put you in a bad spot at the end of week one. You did a great job this week.
You're going to put me in a bad spot?
Well, I think, you know, the unnamed producer and Anthony Gallo and I were having a conversation over some candlelight in wings. Thanks to our, what's the guy's name that brought him here?
Mitch
from Fort Lee.
Mitch in Fort Lee.
Mitch, nice guy. Good to meet him today. I guess I met him before. I totally forgot. But good to see him today. He brought us the wings that the unnamed producer owed us from his performance yesterday. But the three of us were having a conversation when you were in the bathroom or somewhere.
Okay.
That you could make an argument that the Beatles are the most overrated band of all time.
You cannot.
Okay. I'm just asking.
It's okay.
Okay, done. Move along.
Move along.
Ringo Starr, not a top 100 drummer.
Oh. Oh, you've said some doozies in your time, Craig. That might be the worst.
Nah, I'm just busting
top
your chops.
No, I know you are.
Top 50?
Oh, he's top 10.
Ringo, as a drummer,
as
no.
His drumming was
rudimentary drumming, though.
Stop.
It was.
Go talk to actual drummers and tell... Like,
I am an actual drummer.
Listen, could he...
We talk about it all the time.
Could he, like, you know... I don't know, like Motley Crue, Tommy Lee, play upside down and do all the crazy fills.
I bet he had to,
but
he couldn't.
Fitting in the song, sitting in the song, and listen to songs like Rain and Come Together.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just endless.
Would you say John Bonham's number one? Is that your number one? Top three.
Yeah, he's top three.
Okay.
I really think Neil Peart is
Are you
widely
a Max
considered.
Weinberg guy?
I mean, he was okay
average.
With Conan O'Brien.
Average.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's the E Street fan, but I thought he was good with Conan O'Brien.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, no, I just didn't like it. That's a different story, sure. Keith Moon with The Who, Neil Peart, Bonham.
Okay. Yeah, just asking.
But I'm a Ringo
guy. You know, Bonham's son's a badass drummer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
He plays with that. He plays like some sort of Led Zeppelin.
When they did the Zeppelin, before it was the Trump Kennedy Honors. No, it was just the Kennedy Honors.
Yeah, yeah.
They honored Led Zeppelin. It's got to be 5-6 years ago, if not more than that now.
Yeah.
So they honored Led Zeppelin at the Kennedy Center Honors, right? Excuse me. And the two gals from Heart sang one of their songs, I forget which one, top of my head, and Bonham Jr. played the drums.
Okay.
And it was awesome.
Yeah.
Now, he's legit.
Yeah.
He's not his dad, obviously, but he can play all the stuff his dad played. It's pretty cool. You should actually, on the way home, you should watch that on YouTube.
I'll watch that on YouTube.
Yeah. You drive home, right?
I'm driving home tonight.
Yeah, definitely watch it on YouTube while you're driving home.
I got you.
Because it's a great version of the song.
Yeah, yeah, I got
And I am a big fan of Heart.
I could just listen to it.
No, you gotta watch it.
I could just listen to it, though.
Yeah, see, because the heavyset girl from Heart could sing.
Oh, she could sing.
Yeah. I don't know her name, but
nah, she's I forgot her name
heavy,
too.
I know that. Here's John in Piermont. Johnny, what do you got, kiddo?
Craigie, welcome back.
Thank
nice
you.
To talk to you, my friend.
You as well.
Only you I could share this with.
Great.
When I was single, I met a girl in the Mondrian Hotel, I guess the Sky Bar, and we went back to her room, and we're getting to, you know, get busy.
Yeah.
And she goes, do you mind if I turn on the TV? And I said, no, turn on the TV. What do I care?
Sure.
And she puts on a movie.
Right.
And she goes, that's me.
Oh.
And it was a porn.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Did you act out the scenes?
Yeah.
No, but it was like awesome and scary at the same time because you're like,
did she do it because she thought...
What kind of diseases am I getting involved with?
And
right
she
now?
Got obviously excited at the prospect of watching herself.
The thing I would do, if that ever happened to me, and thanks for the call, that's out in L.A., the place he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Mondrian Hotel, it's over on Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood. If someone did that to me, my immediate fear would be that they spiked my drink.
Right.
and I'm going to wake up without a kidney. Yeah, and a limp. Yeah. And I think the limp might be worse than the missing kidney.
Right.
But that'd be my biggest fear.
Yeah.
Like, and right before I pass out, she tells me who she is. I'm like, damn it, I'm in Mexico now.
Yeah, that would, let's, do you mind if I put on the TV? And then it's like, she, it must have been like a VHS or like, how does she have?
I don't know.
She
don't
ordered
know.
It. She knew she was maybe on the, she knew it was on, pay-per-view, she was on the hotel menu.
Like, I
she
guess. Knew maybe that, she's very popular.
Yeah, maybe she was popular.
All right, so real quick, a couple days ago on this show, I said to you that I thought Abdul Carter's rookie season was bad, was disappointing, and I think that...
terrible?
Terrible, yeah. I used all the adjectives.
Horrid?
Horrendous. Horrendous. I mean, said, and I felt bad for you guys as Giants fans, because I got the sense that collectively, you guys as Giant fans have lowered your standards. Because the beatdown this decade has been so bad that you're trying to find, like we do as Jet fans, anything to grab onto, right?
As we just talked about, yeah.
So I figured that was a really good take. No one's had that take, and I thought I could back it up with the fact that, you know, he did not play great the first couple months. He got benched. He slept in meetings. He may have had a porn addiction or some other type of thing, whatever the heck it was, that he was busy doing during meetings. Yes. I don't know what the heck the guy was doing. And then, yes, the last couple weeks of the season, when they made a change, obviously Bowen's out, it looked like maybe he learned how to play football. And I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. But you can't judge the rookie season on a couple of games. So I'm trying to figure out where I missed the boat so badly that Giant fans view Abdul Carter's rookie season as, let's say, a B-plus or better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that's possible. Please.
Yeah, I mean, well, if you look at the numbers, we talked about this. I don't know if you heard Tiki was talking about it, too. His rush numbers are overall rush getting after the quarterback in total rushes. He was 11th in the NFL. Not 11th in rookies. 11th in the NFL.
Yeah, how many sacks did he have?
He didn't have, what was he, have one, four and a half, something like that, three and a half, four? All right. And most of them came in the last couple games of the season.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
He didn't have a full sack until week 13 or something.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a great rookie season for a top 10 pick.
He didn't. Yes, for a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
I agree, he was slightly disappointing for a top 10 pick.
Great.
The overall numbers weren't there, but if you look at it, he beat the man in front of him. He got after the quarterback. He had speed rushes, which they determine how quickly you got the rush to the quarterback, and he was like at the top of the NFL. He was beating the guy in front of him and creating pressure, and if you watch the games, as you accused me of not doing,
yeah,
you said if you watch the
I
games,
I watched every snap of every Giant game this year.
I watched plenty of games where he was having impact. He was drawing guys away
against
so
the
that
Saints.
Burns.
Oh, no.
He had other good games where he was the one who sprung Burns and the double teams and the stunts they were designed were to get Burns home and have him cause havoc. He had a nice rookie season. I wouldn't, even with those numbers, right? The 11th best rush in the NFL. I still would not tell you he had a phenomenal rookie season.
Because he didn't.
Because the expectations were for him to make an impact.
Right.
A big time impact right away, like Micah Parsons.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Okay.
But if you look at it and you watch the games and you look at some of the underlying numbers, he was a force on the field more often than you would think.
I would give you this.
The sack totals would tell you.
I think his final month of the regular season, he certainly showed a lot of improvement.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's the scheme, the system, or him finally deciding I'm going to be a professional, I think maybe it's all kind of jumbled together, right?
Yeah.
But you guys are doing something that I find interesting. And I don't know why you guys are doing it. Remember
looking
if you...
at the facts.
No. You're inventing facts.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain it to you
now.
Remember how when you grew up, no one talked about in baseball, whip.
Right.
Didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
War didn't exist.
Didn't exist.
We've invented terms to try to then explain why certain players are better than we think.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It used to be home runs, RBIs, hits. Right? It was basically it. Run score.
Average,
right?
Yeah.
Right. All of a sudden, baseball got all complicated and invented stupid stats.
Then we got smart.
All right? Right? So football is now doing that too. What's comical to me, mm-hmm. when I have these Giants fans attacking me on social media, right, saying, oh, but his speed rushes and his articular sclerosis was a 19.7.
You saw that?
Right?
The articular sclerosis.
I'm saying to myself, here's
the
deal. Here's how we judge pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
How many sacks did you have? Four. And none in the first 3 months of the season.
Right.
Okay, great. Maybe he's a great run stopper. This guy is a run stopper. He's not on the outside, obviously. He averaged one tackle a game.
Correct.
Let me say that again.
Yeah.
Your top 10 pick didn't have a sack for the first 3 months and averaged one tackle a game. Yeah. And you guys are giving me a hard time when I said he had a bad rookie season.
He didn't have a bad rookie season.
Without inventing new stats.
We're not inventing new stats. Yes, we're smart enough to recognize that just the crude stats that you have been, you know, attached to since you were attached
tackles.
To the nipple doesn't mean that those numbers aren't accurate, that you can't look at it. Here's my example, right?
Rushes as a stat.
So what? Up until 1987, they didn't count sacks either.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Make your point.
My point is,
he had a great season.
Go talk to the players he played against and ask them if he's a tough player to guard. Ask him if he's someone who's created
havoc. They're not going to rip the kid. They're in the same fraternity.
I'm saying in the circles of the NFL, the players who he played against are talking about how Abdul Carter is going to be a problem next year.
Okay, next year. But he was not a problem this year.
Yes, he was.
Against the Saints.
No.
Half of his pressures are in two games.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah,
Half of his pressures were in two games.
I'm exaggerating.
He was 11th in the NFL and did it in two games.
I'm exaggerating a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Most of his pressures were in two games.
You know why people exaggerate in discussions?
Why?
Because they're losing them. But here's the thing.
So what grade do you give him?
I give him a solid B.
A solid B. Top 10 pick.
Yes.
Who's supposed to get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Who didn't get to the quarterback.
As far as play on the field, you include the nonsense off the field.
Well,
how he needs. All right, then I would go B minus.
B minus. Now we're down to a B minus.
B minus. You got me to B minus.
I'll get you to a D by the time I'm done with you today.
He beat the guy in front of him. That's what football is about. You want to get down to it? Forget sacks. Forget any other stat you want to talk about. Rushes in general. Anything. Here's football. Me here, you there, I push you back or you push me back.
Yeah.
He's the one doing the pushing most of the time.
Well,
that's good for a rookie.
No.
He's beating the guy in front of him a lot
sacks.
More than you think. He's not getting home.
He didn't push anybody around.
That's not true.
Isn't the job to get to the quarterback?
I understand. So you're saying that no player in the NFL that it creates pressure or creates havoc on a defense without having big-time tackle numbers or sack numbers.
No, I'm not saying that. But not all pressures are the same. And here's the stat I can't find. I searched all day because I really wanted to talk to you about this today.
Yeah.
It's one thing to gloat about, he had 66 pressures. That was 11th in the league and first amongst rookies. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate his greatness. But no one discusses what happened on those plays. Just because you might have pressured a quarterback.
Right.
Did the quarterback complete the pass 20 yards down the field? Is that a good pressure? No. Not all pressures are the same.
Okay.
Okay?
So
four sacks. One tackle a game.
If you have the
let's put him in Canton, Ohio.
No one's saying that. Yeah. See, now you're
distorting
the argument.
That's Kim LT's number after all.
If he's
Lawrence Taylor reincarnated.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, he's Dick Butkus. No. I missed on that one.
Forget,
sorry.
If he has another 11 seasons just like this one, not good enough for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, is that right?
But as far as a rookie season, it's not a terrible rookie season. Rookies don't normally step on the field. You're talking about expectations and what we thought he was going to be. And I think anyone in their right mind would acknowledge he was not the immediate impact player that the Giants and the fans were hoping for. That doesn't mean he was a bad rookie.
But if you say he didn't have the rookie season we expected.
Correct.
Or even, I think you said, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great rookie season. I think you said that. Okay.
I wouldn't say great, no.
Okay.
I would say solid.
So let me just go back to the first one.
Yeah.
If he didn't have the rookie season you were expecting.
Yes.
Then I'm right.
No, you're not.
He had a disappointing rookie season.
I think disappointing is fair, and if you
what did I say that's so actionable?
We had an argument, if you remember, about what disappointment means.
Yeah, four sacks and one tackle.
Remember
the
whole thing, and I gave you here, and in the middle. Remember, like the whole thing. I had a bar graph for you.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
I liked it.
That's what I'm saying.
It, but I liked
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Here's my point. Disappointing for the expectations that he was coming into the league with. I think that's fair. You called him horrible. You said it
for
was
13
a disgusting
weeks, he was.
Rookie season. He was not.
He fell
for those 13
meetings.
Weeks. He was still a very good, solid rookie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the impact player we all assumed would step onto the
now,
field. And like Jaden Daniels.
Yeah,
he had an incredible rookie season.
I gave him an A+.
A plus.
His rookie season.
Right.
Yeah.
Bo Nix. I know he went to the playoffs and won games, but he didn't play all that great. He played well.
B+.
Right.
Rookie
so
quarterback.
There's expectations.
Yeah.
If Jaden Daniels played like Bo Nix, he'd probably have a disappointing rookie season.
Okay. So what type of rookie season do you think that Abdul Carter had?
He had a good, solid, but disappointing, based on expectations, rookie season.
So I win.
No.
I win. That's exactly what I said.
You know what? Let's just argue for 10 minutes and declare you the victor.
But you came back around to, yes, it was a disappointing season.
I admitted the other day it was disappointing.
Okay, I win. It's a win.
No, it's not.
I'm taking a double.
You called him horrible. You said it was a horrible rookie season.
I have a trophy right here.
You can't.
I want to thank the Academy. I want to thank my friends and family. I win. Abdul Carter might become a good football player.
He's a good football player, and he was a good football player this year.
Average.
We were expecting a great football player. And you didn't get a great football player.
Thus, it was disappointing.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Not horrendous. Not awful. You said horrendous and awful.
I know.
And then you told me disappointing is just another word
for
horrendous.
It
and
is.
I disagree.
In my lexicon,
well,
it is. Let me ask you a quick question.
Yes.
In week 8, what were you saying about Abdul Carter?
In week 8, I was saying, are we ever going to see the player we expected?
Because he was disappointing.
Correct.
And what was the other word I used?
Awful.
Awful.
No.
8 weeks in, awful.
Incorrect.
And when you guys, I'm sure, were talking here every
day.
Evan
Neal
about
was awful.
When you guys were, I'm sure, debating about, you know, the sleeping in meetings and missing meetings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I assume you guys all acknowledged at that point, well, that's pretty ugly.
Yeah, we have a problem with our hands.
Yeah, we have a problem with that.
Yes.
Problem on our hands.
Yes.
Didn't Carl Banks get in a big fight with you guys about this? Didn't Carl Banks say Abdul Carter stunk?
Probably. No.
Or did someone else say he stunk?
No, he said.
Someone said he stunk and you guys got in a fight.
Carl also had a thing with Dexter Lawrence.
Oh, he said Dexter Lawrence stunk.
He said teams aren't respecting Dexter Lawrence the way they used to.
Oh, that's my bad. He did not say that about Abdul Carter.
No.
I don't want to put words in Carl's mouth.
Yeah,
that's how
I meant it. Became then it became a thing with Dexter Lawrence and he was like, I still create double teams and all that.
All right. I don't know. That's my bad.
That's all right.
Do you know that Carl Banks once bought a Vespa from me?
A Vespa.
A Vespa, yeah.
I would love to see Carl Banks on a Vespa.
He bought a Vespa.
Like going through the hills of Tuscany on a Vespa.
My neighbors thought he was stealing it when he took it from my garage. He wasn't. I gave it to him. But yeah, he bought a Vespa for me.
How much?
It's a true story.
He bought a Vespa from you.
Yeah, I had a Vespa.
Did you give him a helmet? What color was the Vespa? Was it that, like, you know, metallic
mint green? I want to say silvery.
Oh, silver?
Yeah. I'm not sure if Carl still has it, but Carl Banks bought my Vespa. That's a true story.
How did that happen? And where did you get a Vespa?
I don't know.
You
I had
just
a
one
Vespa.
Day decided to buy a Vespa?
I think I probably had a Vespa deal.
You had a Vespa deal?
Yeah. I think I probably had an endorsement with Vespa. And I think I had the Vespa, and Carl was jealous that I had the Vespa, and he wanted a Vespa.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really use it. You know, like young kids at the time, like your kids' age now.
Yeah.
I was like, honey, I'm getting on the Vespa and going to 7-Eleven for that Japanese egg salad.
If I get a Vespa, it's the first place I'm going.
Sure you are.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, if you ever want to sell that Vespa, I'll buy it. And I sold Carl a Vespa.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if he still has it.
I haven't talked to Carl in a long time. Long time. He doesn't have my number anymore, and I like it that way.
Mm-hmm.
He used to make fun of my man boobs. I didn't like that. Yeah.
Because
I wasn't working out a lot back in the day. Now I'm like ripped. Because I'm boxing and I'm lifting.
And ever since I gave you my weights, you've been working out.
I got your weights in my house.
Yeah.
That's no joke.
No
joke. Did 245 this morning on the flat bench. What's up? How you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But Carl Banks used to talk about my man boobs. So I was like, I'm not talking to that guy anymore. Made me feel bad about myself.
Right. And he got a great deal on a Vespa and everything.
And then
all
he
right.
bought my Vespa, 888-808-1019. It's the Carton Show on the Fan.